James Franco thing.
Yeah, I loved it.
It's so funny. And I have, like, as you might, you both hear, like, I have a horrible cough.
Uh-huh.
Right? And, like, I was watching it. Every time I laughed, I had, like, a fit. But it was fine because it was so funny.
Yeah, I watched the Bound 2 video before. Yeah. It's just so weird and awkward, and I don't know what he was thinking.
You know, I didn't
watch it. So bad.
It's, yeah.
I've heard, and it's like stuck in my head.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I keep hearing that thing the woman says in the background.
Exactly. Same.
I don't know. I'm a little fan of Kanye.
I genuinely am too, but I truly don't like that one. It's the annoying voice in the background. That's just like,
yeah, that's probably one of the worst musics in his new album.
Mm.
But I didn't watch the music video before. I didn't know he had a music video.
Okay.
So I wasn't really understanding that was a remake.
Oh, okay.
And I was just like, what? They really did it. I was thinking, this is really bad. And then when I found out that Kanye actually did that shot for shot, I thought, how is it possible? It's so bad.
Yeah. Hello and welcome to all visitors from across the universe. You're listening to the Across the Universe podcast, brought to you, as always, by the Chicks with Accents. I'm Matt from Germany, and I blog at Lime Reviews and Strawberry Confessions. With me today is Nick from India, who blogs at Being Norma Jean.
Namaste.
And Sophia, who is from Portugal and blogs at Filmfare.
Aww.
Yeah, today we're going to talk about our favorite Christmas movies, and we're also going to talk about our movie of the fortnight. But before that, we're going to listen to a trailer for another podcast from the Lamb Podcasting Network.
Why haven't you seen Jaws?
I've seen Finding Nemo. That's close enough, right?
Why haven't you seen The Usual Suspects?
Because I already know who Kaiser Soze is.
I can't believe you haven't seen Videodrome.
What? Has anyone seen Videodrome?
You haven't seen it.
Okay. How about I start a podcast where someone will introduce me to one of these great movies I've never seen before, and in return, I'll have them watch a superhero movie. Film-wise, the Why Haven't You Seen This Film podcast. Find it on iTunes or Stitcher Radio.
Movie of the Fortnight is a movie that we've seen in the fortnight between episodes and that we would like to share with you. Today, I have a movie that I know you've both seen, and I know especially Sophia loves, but I think you do too, Nick. And I finally watched American Psycho.
Yay!
Yeah. So, because I was at my guest family in Denmark, and I was sort of taking advantage of the fact that they have Netflix in Denmark, because we don't here in Germany. And yeah, so I was like, ooh, this is American Psycho, and I've heard it's really good, and we have to watch it now. So I really liked it a lot. It's very, very unusual. I mean, I don't have anything to compare it to, because I think it's a very original movie.
Yeah.
And Christian Bale is hot, but he's also really good. I love the way I love his monologues, and it reminded me a bit of maybe Fight Club. I mean, it's very different, but it's just as good, I think. And the whole music thing, and even like the murders are pretty awesome, because there's like this tension all the time, but it's, you know, just bursts out of him, and yeah, I love that. Yeah, I think, and it's a really good satire as well. So
it is.
I'm very happy I've finally watched it.
I love that film.
Yes. Yeah. Although I don't see how they're going to make a musical out of this.
I know, right? Forget about it. Just don't.
But I can't. It's like, it's Matt Smith.
Yeah.
I'm going to like reblog the heck out of it if they have any like footage of it. So, yeah. But I don't know. Alex Withrow just did like 20 something things about American Psycho that he loves that like no one else talks about. You should check that out. He just did it like last okay. week.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. It's awesome. That.
I was actually working on the last set of emotions for Metal's logathon, mm-hmm. and I'm doing love, just love, and I was thinking of scenes from American Psycho, but I ended up not choosing because I can't choose just one moment from that movie because I love every single minute of it.
I had the credit business card scene. Somewhere, yeah. uh-huh. and I think it was Smiles.
Smiles
is that? Yeah.
I'm probably going, if I do it, because I haven't done it, I'll probably just do like all of the emotions in one go.
Yeah.
I haven't done it. No, in the thing, I remember like, I think last year or something, people were talking about like a new movie or like some TV show or something.
Yeah.
An American Psycho. And like my entire point of like argument was like, how will you show the business cards thing? Because who, like, that's not like a big thing in today's world, you know, like as it was back then.
Yeah.
And it's like such an important part of like the plot. That's what like triggers him of all the things, you know? So that was like my biggest like point of argument that you can't like update it.
Just no, I think it has to stand on its own.
Yeah.
I mean, there is American Psycho 2, but...
What?
Yeah, there is one. It's with Mila Kunis and he's the main character, but it was straight to DVD. And it's not really...
It. It's just...
Yeah. Supposed to be really bad.
Forget it, too.
Yeah.
No, it's hilarious. Didn't you just laugh... So yeah, hard.
It's really funny.
Yeah.
So I love when the investigator, he goes to his office and asks, what were you doing on 24th or something? And it's like, well, I was probably returning some videotapes.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Best.
I think it's perfect. It's a perfect movie. It really is.
The scene where he invites... Chloe's Sevigny or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Home.
It's like finding things to like kill people with.
Yeah.
It is. Okay. Have you read the book? Any of you?
No.
I started it, but I didn't finish it. It was just because it was so detailed, you know? Like, I didn't mind it, but you know, he just kept going into like what everyone was wearing the whole time. I just like, I can't care right now.
It gets better.
Okay.
He stops doing that eventually.
Okay, good.
There's plenty of action towards the middle of the book. That's why I didn't read it. I stopped reading it too the first time I tried it. Then my second time, he kept doing those descriptions, and I was just laughing at him descripting everything. I don't know. It just it hit me in a different way.
A lot of people they always point out the fact that the movie was made by a woman. I forgot who directed it.
Mary Harron.
Yeah, Mary. And that's like a big thing. Like, you know, because a lot of people think, you know, if it was like directed by a guy, it would just become too much about, like, you know, that satire would get lost in it. You know, I think she found that like comic aspect of it really well.
And yeah,
it wasn't about like sexy girls or anything. You know, even though there were like a lot of like naked women in there.
Yeah, but Christian Bale like steals the show.
Yeah,
from all of them.
That's my favorite performance of his from the ones I've seen. Like, just...
Yeah, definitely.
Nick.
Yeah, okay, so the film that I'm going to talk about is Frozen, which is like quite a departure from American Psycho.
Yeah.
But anyways, it's the 2013 Disney film,
which has characters voiced by Kristen Bell, Idina Menzel, and Jonathan Groff. It's loosely based on Hans Christian Andersen's story, The Snow Queen. It tells the story of two sisters, both of them their princesses, named Elsa and Anna. Mm-hmm. And Elsa is the older one, and she's born with special powers, like ice powers. I don't know how to describe her powers. She just, you know, like she can make it snow, and she can like turn the ground or the water into ice, and if she touches things, they can turn into ice. And they're very close as children, but there's this accident when she accidentally hurts Anna when they were kids. So her parents sort of like put her away, and you know, like, both the sisters, even though they want to be with each other, like, they sort of like grow up like separated by like rooms and doors and things like that, and their parents die, and then like when they grow up, like, Elsa becomes the queen, but on like the day of her coronation, Anna falls in love with this super handsome prince called Hans, who I really liked. So she goes to like take her blessings, but Elsa just thinks she's meant to. And, like, this just causes, like, a lot of things. And basically her powers are revealed and everyone gets really scared of her. And then Elsa, she goes away. But, like, while she's escaping, like, she, like, accidentally, like, causes her entire kingdom to, like, come under, like, she, like, sets off this, like, winter there again. Like, so everyone is just very, like... like, you know, like their ports are like fully frozen, so people can't go anywhere. And then like Anna takes it upon her to like go and like talk to Elsa, and she's assisted by this, he collects ice, okay, this guy called Kristoff, and his really like awesome reindeer called Sven, and this snowman called Olaf, and then it's all about that. And it's really nice. It's very, very lovely. It's I didn't expect it to be that good, because I wasn't a huge fan of Tangled.
Oh, okay.
So I thought like it would be, I don't know, something about Rapunzel's hair just pissed me off. But anyways, but this is really, I mean, it's very funny, okay? Anna's character is hilarious. She keeps, like, singing to herself. The songs are really nice. And all the characters are really lovely. And, like, you know, this is, like, continuing, like, that whole tradition of, like, sort of strong Disney princesses. You know, I think more from, like, Belle onwards, from Beauty and the Beast. You know, there's Belle, there's been Mulan, there's been Pocahontas, there's been... I forgot the one in Princess and the Frog. And there was Merida, and like again in this also, you know, like romance. Even though there is that romantic aspect, that's not what the main issue is. The main issue is the relationship between these two sisters, and like the message of the film is like, you know, you should not shut people out. Like quite literally, they show it in this movie, and it's very, very beautifully done. Like the animation is just stunning. And, like, Elsa's gown is, like, I want to wear that to, like, a fancy dress at some point in my life. It's very, very pretty. And, yeah, it's really, and it's, like, the perfect, like, holiday mood movie, you know, it, like, just sets you in that mood.
That's nice. So it's not your favorite, is it your favorite animated movie of this year?
Or? Yeah, I would say, I mean, I love Blue Umbrella, the short. Yeah. Pixar short the most, but it's my favorite like full length one that I've seen. Okay. More than Monsters University, though I really liked Monsters University too.
Okay.
Yeah, I really wanted to watch it. There's been a lot of publicity to it on TV, and I think the snow. Oh my god, how do you say it? Snow. The thing that the. How do you say?
What?
What? Snow. Two balls, you know, mix up.
Snowman.
Snowman.
Snowman. Yeah. Okay. The snowman. He seems really cute.
He's very funny. He's very cute. He has, like, this one line in which he goes, like, some people are worth melting for,
And like, I literally, I did like a very loud awe at that part. One of the only thing, I won't say I didn't like it. It made sense, like, in the whole context of the movie. But one of the final reveals, I was kind of saddened by. If you watch it, you'll understand what I mean. But mm-hmm. it's a really, like, sweet, like, very lovely movie.
Okay.
Yeah. It's so pretty. It's very pretty.
Okay. Amy?
Oh, yeah, Sophia. Yeah.
Okay, I chose a movie that I didn't like. It was so ridiculous. I watched it on Saturday night because, I don't know, my parents, I said, why not watch the film about Bin Laden, you know, where they killed Bin Laden?
Okay.
Why not watch that? But instead they wanted to pay to watch Olympus Has Fallen, which is, I had never heard of that movie. And then when I saw it, has any of you seen it?
No, I wanted to, actually.
Real? Don't. No waste your time. Unless you want to laugh at how ridiculous it is. Because the movie is so American in the worst way possible. You actually see... Okay, let me begin. Okay, so it's about a terrorist attack to the White House, right? It's the North Koreans who are infiltrated a committee of a South Korean... prime minister who goes to visit the American president, okay, to the White House. Then there's an air attack, and they get the president and the prime minister of South Korea and his security and whatever, all of them to the bunker that's like 40 meters or something underground. But since they're infiltrated, they are already in the bunker with the president, and they start, you know, killing people in there and pressuring America to withdraw the troops they have on South Korea or something, because they want to unite the two Koreas. Whatever. But the thing about this is so ridiculous that just when there's the air attack, they actually start, well, first it's completely ridiculous. It's like this huge plane, you fire bullets, like thousands of bullets and missiles, and everybody's dying, and there's so many people dying in this film. It's like you see the guards coming out of, like, hundreds of guards coming out of the White House, and they're all dying, just like, and then civilians dying as well in the middle of the street. I mean, it's just blood everywhere, and so stupid. And then they start shooting, and they start shooting the flag, the American flag.
Okay.
And then you see the flag falling in slow motion.
Oh,
with
like a no.
Huge music, like, you know. And at that point, this is so funny, at that point, my father said to me, this movie is going to end with the flag being, you know.
Hoisted up.
Hoisted. And it did.
Oh, no.
With one of the speeches, like, God bless the United States of America, and then the flag going up. Okay, so it's total catastrophe, but in the middle of this, Gerard Butler is like a hero. He himself, just him alone, is going to save the president.
Okay. So I'm glad I haven't seen it.
Yeah, it's not. I paid for it like €4, and... Mm-hmm. I begged them not to watch this, but they still went ahead. Anyway, it was funny.
I will say this, though. I watched White House Down, which has, like, the same premise, more or less. But I actually, like, enjoyed it. I mean, it's stupid, okay? It is very stupid. I will, like, agree. But it was fun. It was, like, this old-school Roland Emmerich movies, okay? And it was just, like, even... But I had fun in that one. Although I got into, like, a major argument with my dad after it. Because he loved it, okay? He called it, like, his best movie of his year. And I can see it, like, my dad loving it. Like, I understand why he would love it. But it wasn't after this, okay? It was after Pacific Rim. Because he didn't like Pacific Rim. And then I had, like, this whole argument about how he, like, White House Down, but that's stupid because it's like set in real world, you know, it's set in like our world, right, where
hypothetically it can happen, but Pacific Rim has like its own universe, and like in its own alternative universe its rules make sense. I was trying to explain that to him, but he does that to like infuriate me. I can get very, generally I don't care about things, but when it comes to like movies, I can get very like agitated. So he was doing that to me. So yeah, but I liked White House Down. I will say that was just fun. That was stupid, but it was fun. But well, I don't know how much this is fun.
No, well, you can't really get invested in the story because it seems so fake and unlikely to happen. You know, like they start attacking the White House and it takes forever for the military to get there. And it's just not realistic, you know.
Yeah.
They manage to completely destroy, they destroy the, how is it called, that monument they have, which is...
The Washington...
Something, Washington, you know.
Yeah, the Washington... Monument?
Maybe. I don't know. It's like a huge pillar.
The Washington Monument.
But it has a name.
The monument part.
Yeah, one of the first things that happens is that they destroy that. Like, top section of it. And it's just, I don't know. It's too unlikely. But it's very, I mean, it's funny. It's not supposed to be funny at times, but Gerard Butler's character is very funny because it's just a guy that doesn't care. He's completely badass. Like there's a part where there's an agent. He was an American, but he turned to the other side, so he was infiltrated with the Koreans, and then the head of the Koreans. He sets him to kill Gerard Butler's character, who is inside the White House alone, because he killed everyone by himself. And he goes to kill him, and then when Gerard Butler's character finds out that he's like, oh, but you can do the right thing right now. You can say to your leader that I'm dead, you killed me, and you can help me save the president. It's like, okay. So he takes the walkie-talkie or something, and he says to his chief, oh, it's done, I killed him. And he's like, oh, okay, I done it. And Gerard Butler just kills him right there. Just because. Oh, okay, thank you, bye. Boom. You know, so it's like that. It's really badass. Like, he kills everyone. Yeah. He doesn't care.
No. Okay.
In White House Down, it was Channing Tatum like that. Except, like, he had, like, a daughter in there somewhere who turned out to be the only girl with, like, a working, like, camera phone, because she, like, sent the pictures of the terrorists everywhere. And then, no, my biggest issue with it, like, in thing was, like, it had Jamie Foxx, right? He was the president.
Okay.
He's, like, shown as, like, you know, this peace-loving president. Okay, but like he in the middle of the movie, it's like he's like carrying a bazooka and things like that. Okay, which I thought was like completely mental. That was like my whole argument with my father, like showing him like this kind of a dude, but then he's like killing people. And my dad's like, yeah, but he has to save himself. That's what they're showing. And I'm like, no, you have to like think beyond that.
No.
Oh my God.
No. Oh, and the special effects are really, really bad.
Okay.
Like, really bad. I don't understand. It's just, it doesn't make any sense.
There's going to be, like, a second part. I think London is Falling or something of that sort.
Ugh.
So, it did well? The movie?
Maybe.
The movie did well?
Maybe, with the audiences. I don't know. Oh. It doesn't have a high score on IMDb. I'm guessing. People, I don't know. Morgan Freeman is in it. That's why I think my parents thought it would be good. But he's
is
in
he the president?
No, he's the how do you say the interim, the active president. When the president stops being the president, he steps in.
Yeah, this has Richard Jenkins playing that kind of a role.
Oh,
it's like the same.
Going to say that.
What a bright time, it's the right time to rock the night away. Jingle bell time is the swell time to go around. riding in a one-horse sleigh. Giddy up, jingle horse, pick up your feet. Jingle around the clock. Mix and mingle and jingle and beat. That's the jingle bell. That's the jingle bell. That's the jingle bell rock.
Our topic this week is Christmas movies. And we hope it's already snowing outside where you are and that you're already in Christmas mood. But if you're not, here are three movies that might put you in that mood. And we've chosen three very different movies. So there's something for every taste. And yeah, that's basically what we're going to do. I chose a movie that is sort of a Christmas tradition. I have another movie that's much more of a tradition, but I didn't want to watch it without my family. But this one is sort of what I think about when I think about Christmas, among others. And it's
my family's in Florida and I'm in New York.
It's Home Alone 2, Lost in New York, the 1992 movie that's a sequel to Home Alone, which is from 1990. And it has the same characters, as the first movie. It has the McAllister family, which is huge. And again, it's the same premise. They lose their son, Kevin McAllister, one of the kids, who's played by Macaulay Culkin. Weird name. yeah. And this time he gets lost in New York instead of at home. So, yeah. And that's basically all you need to know. There are also two bandits played by Joe Pesci and Daniel Stern. And so they, Kevin is in some trouble there in New York. And the movie, I know that it's a lot like Hangover 2 in some regards as, just...
Don't.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same... The same premise. It's the same things happening, basically. But I still love it, and I think I love it more than the first movie, which is why I chose it. First of all, I think that there's not a character like Tim Curry in the first movie, who is... Well, first of all, Tim Curry is awesome. But there's just not that kind of a third person, like, a funny person. So, yeah, and he's just wonderful. And then there is New York City, which is so beautiful, and I really want to go there, and it's, like, on my bucket list and everything, which I think adds to it. I mean, the first movie is cute, but it's not as spectacular like that. And, the part with the older person who sort of inspires Kevin and like gives him some, makes him think about certain things in a different way. This time it's a woman instead of a man, and I think that she gets to play a bigger role than the old man in the first movie. I don't know why. I mean,
I was really scared of the old man.
Yeah, I was too when I was young, but not this time. But yeah, I was also scared of the woman, and I think that Angels with Even Filthier Souls, it's a lot better than Angels with Filthy Souls.
It's kind of awesome that like a child watches like this really violent noir movies.
Yeah, I love that part. And I also rewatched the first movie, and what I noticed this time is that the movies, they're really brutal.
So brutal, right? Same.
But I mean, you had a lot of fun when you were a child watching these movies.
Those two, and I've thought of this like quite some time now. Harry and Marv have like skeletons of steel.
Yeah.
You know? Because they get, like, thrown... I mean, I didn't rewatch the first one, I only saw this, but... They get, like, thrown, like, bricks upon their face,
yeah.
And, like...
Yeah.
Massive, like... you know, that big black
thing. Mm-hmm. It just reminds me of an anchor for some reason. Like that on them, and they get like pecked upon and everything, you know?
Yeah, they should be dead.
Most people would like if they don't die, they'll be like seriously injured.
Mm-hmm.
And these people don't even have like blood on them, you know?
Yeah, when the first brick hits
Marv.
Mm-hmm.
Hits Marv, I was like, he should be dead by now.
But I just remember how funny it was as a kid to watch.
It was,
So yeah, and did you notice that in the first movie they watch your movie, Sophia?
No, you know, I don't remember the Home Alone films. Actually, okay. I have no idea what happens in the first one. I'm sorry, what film?
In this they were watching It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, what's your problem with it?
It's Nick. The movie itself is really good. But the message scares me because it's like my biggest fear in life, you know, to be like emotionally blackmailed by like a wingless angel to like stay in one place and not like go after my dreams. It really scares me. It's like, you know, because he had like these grand schemes. I get it, you know, you have to be close to your family, blah, blah, blah. But it's just like, it's not something I want. And I don't like it. It's just not something I agree with. So, yeah.
Oh, I thought you had like an issue with the film.
No, I think it's a very good film, but it's just like that whole sentimental aspect to it, I don't like it at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's just something I don't agree with, and I don't want to watch it again. I got kind of scared the first time. I was like, let me never be George Bailey. Let me never be George Bailey. So
It
was that kind of thing.
Kind of sweet. Yeah. No way. Okay, well, like I was saying, the Home Alone films. I actually, when you said Home Alone 2, Lost in New York, I'm like, I have no idea what this is. Like, the two first movies, maybe, because they're always on Christmas Eve. But I never, you know, when you don't know which film that scene is from, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But as I watched Home Alone 2, I really liked it because I was reliving basically my childhood while watching. And I ended up remembering everything while I was watching, you know? I really liked it.
It's always nice.
Yeah. That's one of those movies. It's kind of like a Christmas tradition because they inevitably show it on TV during Christmas. And I really like Home Alone 3 too, even though it doesn't have like a different setting. It has Scarlett Johansson in it when she was really young.
I've never seen that.
I really like Home Alone 3 too, personally. I really like that one as well. I have a question. Did you guys fancy Macaulay Culkin when you were children?
Yes.
Yes, right?
Yeah.
Sophia?
No. No.
No? No. Okay.
Then. I know. He was a cute kid, but I never saw it while I was really, really, really young, maybe.
He's really...
I always had weird days.
He's very attractive, like, when he was in his 20s, but now he's just, like, a wreck.
Yeah, that was
I have a thing for Kieran Culkin, like, older version-wise, it's Kieran Culkin for me. But, yeah.
Because his image is, the whole time I was watching the film, I was remembering his role in Will and Grace, which, I don't know if you remember, but he was a lawyer. Yeah, against Will, exactly. Will was the opposite lawyer or something. I can't remember really well, but he's he plays the card of being a young and experienced lawyer, even though that's not true, and keeps helping Will, which is the opposite lawyer for help. And Will helps him, and then in the end he gets crushed because he's awesome. But there's a scene where he says to Karen for her to get like a Brazilian wax, And that sticks with me. That stains my image of him. And I see like the Home Alone movies. I'm like, oh, you little pervert.
But he was like a very messed up child. Like,
yeah, but his parents were insane too. Like, yeah, fighting about his money, stuff like that.
Yeah. Okay, no, back to
like when his mother screams, Kevin.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. His family is mental. Like, Kevin's family is like okay, the yeah, worst family ever.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they are.
They have like no respect for him. I mean, there's like deep psychological issues there.
There are, yes.
And like, especially in like Home Alone 2, you know, the first one, because he was still in his house, it was fine. But like, in this one, like, he gets lost in New York, which, you know, which even like someone like of my age is not like a cool thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, like, if you don't know where you're going. So, you know, if it could have turned out in like a really bad way, I was just thinking about that. Like, he could have like become like a juvenile delinquent. He could have been like sold to someone. I don't know. Not so much, but still. It could have been like a really scary other, like the other aspect of it can be very scary. But he's like a genius. He's like a diabolical genius.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you notice Donald Trump? I think I always forget this.
No.
Yeah.
Where?
When he comes into the Plaza Hotel, that's the dude who directs him to the reception.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
I was shocked. Yeah,
yeah, I know when I wrote it. And and like, wasn't this always like your image of Joe Pesci? Because this was always my image of Joe Pesci. And then I watched like Goodfellas and I was like, oh, why is he talking like that? But yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen many of his other movies, but he seems to be a serious actor. And
he's like a really like brutal, like, you know, like the Martin Scorsese kind of an actor. So
yeah, and so, I just can't. I'm very curious to see how I will like him in movies like that. Because yeah, he'll probably always be Harry Lime for me.
Exactly.
Don't you think it's... I never noticed this, but I've seen The Third Man like a year ago. And it's actually the name Harry Lime comes from that movie. Yeah.
Right. True.
Kind of weird.
That. I think even like I was thinking of it, you know, when the penguins attack them.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's kind of inspired by Birds.
Okay, I haven't seen that one.
Yeah. So I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of. I was thinking while I was watching this that it's kind of ridiculous that how fast they go through security and all that. But then I remembered that this was before 2001.
Yeah, it's like 92.
Yeah. It was like...
Yeah, it's like when I was born.
Weird.
I remember finding out like Macaulay Culkin's like so old.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
He's over 30. And I just saw a clip of him like trying... journalists asking him whether he was on heroin or not. And he's like messed up.
Yeah, he's like, my only idea of it is like he's as old as Harry Potter, because Harry Potter was born in 1980, and you know, like, oh, if yeah, Harry Potter would have been made back then, you would have totally played him because it's Chris Columbus. I can see it.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
So your movie, Nick.
Okay, so the movie I chose...
I, Jack, the Pumpkin King, have grown so tired of the same old thing.
Is The Nightmare Before Christmas. It is a 1993 movie directed by Henry Selick, and it's written by Tim Burton, and it's, like, based on, like, characters created by Tim Burton. And it's a stop-motion animated movie about the Pumpkin King of Halloween Town called Jack Skellington. They basically, it starts off with, like, these little, like, doors in these big trees, and all of them are, like, different holidays. Different, well, non-Indian holidays, I might add. And, like, one of them is, like, one of the doors they lead to, like, Halloween Town, where, you know, it's full of, like, ghosts and witches and, like, weird people and vampires. And then there's, like, Jack, who's like, a skeleton. And his dog is a ghost. And Jack is, like, he's, like, the hero of the town, because he comes up with, like, all the scares and things, and he's the scariest of them all. But he's not, like, satisfied with it. He's sort of, like, tired of, like, the same routine. Like, it starts off with, like, their Halloween has just passed, and now they have to start planning for the next Halloween already. So it's, like, one, like, a cycle for him, and he's getting, like, tired of it. And then, like, while, like, he's on one of his walks, and he, like, stumbles upon Christmas Town, and then he, like, really loves the place. And he tries to, like, he comes back, and he tells everyone in his town about it, and, like, they decide to, like, take over Christmas, and he wants to become Sandy Claus. And then there's this drag doll, her name is Sally, who's in love with Jack, and she gets like a premonition that, you know, all of it will end in disaster. And then basically it's like it goes on after that, like how like Jack takes over Christmas and how it is like a disaster because it's like all these like scary creatures making like warm and trying to make warm and fuzzy Christmas presents. So yeah, I love this movie. It's one of like, it was an accidental viewing, like when I was quite small actually, and I just sat down to watch it and I loved it instantly. And it's like it's just, you know, the concept of it, just the basic concept of like these scary creatures trying to like take over Christmas. But it's like, you know, the things like that, why I can never, like, you know, truly ever, like, hate Tim Burton, no matter what he does. That, yeah. Like, the guy was, like, capable of these, like, super creative ideas. Mm-hmm. And I'm just, like, I love the fact that, you know, like, these, like, really scary people have, like, such, like, heart to them still. And they're, like, they're not bad people, you know. And they just want to do, like, their thing. They just want to do their part. And, like, it's and then there's like the whole Jack and Sally thing. I mean, the idea of like a skeleton falling in love with a rag doll. and it's so beautifully animated. It's all stop motion, so you know the look of the film is very like cool. And like some of the images, especially all the landscapes, like the cliff in front of the moon, or like the puffs of smoke in Christmas Town, which are like small, they're literally like small like wolves. And like the whole Oogie Boogie sequence with you know, the glow in the dark aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like those little things. And the songs are great too. It's just, yeah. This is actually like my Christmas tradition movie. I make a point of like watching this. Just like one year I had decided to watch The Illusionist, you know, that animated movie instead.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like a big mistake, because that movie might be like really nice and stuff, but it's not like a happy Christmas movie. It's a really depressing movie. And I was like in my Christmas spirit, and I sit down to watch it, and I'm like, oh, what is this? I feel depressed. So yeah.
This was the first time I watched it, and I was very surprised by it. Actually, I was convinced that it was computer animated. And when I found out afterwards that it was stop motion, I was just, like, blown away, because it looks very, very pretty, very, I don't know, it doesn't look like stop motion, like real stop motion.
It's very artistic.
Yeah, the lighting and everything looks animated, but in a good way.
Yeah,
and it's so nice to watch this when you... I'm very used to the new Tim Burton. I haven't seen much of his old stuff, but what I see is really good. I was a bit surprised by the fact that Jack, he had two people who dubbed him. Like, there was one guy who made his normal voice, and then...
One guy who sang his songs.
Yeah. It was a bit confusing, but... Yeah.
I didn't notice. I now I'm Bollywood, I can... It's like...
Oh, yeah, that's
not something that's right. I notice. It's just... I just believe it. Yeah.
But, yeah.
The thing I love most about this movie is the songs. It's like I know them all.
Yeah. I knew the Halloween song at the beginning, that one. The other ones I didn't know.
Yeah.
But they're great. They're really good.
And like, then there's, you know, the whole romanticism, even, like, as morbid as Tim Burton can, like, seem. It's just like, such a romantic side to him.
Yeah.
I love that. It's just,
yeah, it's very cute.
It's I love this film.
Yeah, and Jack seems so human in all his worries and his torment with not knowing what to do, and it's just,
And even I love Sally too. Sally's so cool.
She is.
Yeah.
I just didn't quite understand at the beginning that she never leaves this weird Frankenstein guy. Because she could just leave. I mean,
maybe it's like, maybe there's like a small town aspect to it that you can't leave it, you know? Just have to be there. And he's like her master in a way. He created her.
I'm pretty convinced that if I had seen this movie when I was a child, I would have been really scared.
I wasn't. I loved it instantly.
This guy, the mayor, I think, was his his head is it's kind of frightening.
True, it is. Even Oogie Boogie is kind of frightening.
Yeah, but I loved his song, so
yeah,
it's very fascinating.
The only thing I don't like is the boogeyman, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, it's just never. I don't know. It's the only thing, but it's a minor thing. It's not even like, I don't love him as much as I love the other characters.
Okay.
Yeah, well, he's like scary and weird.
Yeah, he's
full of like worms or something.
I think the first time I watched it, I was like, I don't like that guy. But I love the town meeting song.
Yeah, that's cool.
I love that. And I love all of his stuff. Yeah. I'm Jack the Pumpkin King, and I love that song.
Yeah.
It's nice. It's such a nice movie.
And it's a movie that's just everywhere. Like, Jack, he's everywhere. My sister actually has, a big figure of Jack, but she's never seen the movie. And neither have I. But I knew all about him. I knew how he looked, so...
Kind of like a pop culture icon almost.
Yeah. Cult.
Movie. Cult.
And it's like what was I gonna say? Like, I remember Andrew Garfield and Emma Stone, they had dressed up as like both of them for some Halloween.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm gonna search that out.
It's really cool. And I think, you know, Jack, even though he's like a skeleton, he's like weirdly hot. I don't know why. I was watching this now. I don't know. Yeah.
This something. Okay, this is really weird.
Yeah.
I'm attracted to a skeleton.
Yeah.
It's a skeleton. Well, I think it's no weirder than being attracted to Simba or something like that. So.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought Sally was really pretty too, in her way.
I loved her, like, her body was kind of sexy.
She was.
In that scene where she rips off her leg and
tries. Yeah, that's definitely sexy.
I like that.
She rips off her leg.
Yeah. Oh. Okay. You know what I'm talking about.
Clever.
Yeah, Kind of.
You watched other stuff. Like, have you seen Beetlejuice?
No.
Yeah, that's really good too. And that has like Winona Ryder also.
And I really want to watch Ed Wood now that I've seen the original Dracula.
Ed Wood's really good as well. Mm.
And Edward Scissorhands.
You haven't seen Edward Scissorhands?
No.
Sure, that's my favorite though. That's like that was amazing.
Yeah.
I just saw the original Dracula too for the first time, actually.
It's really cool, isn't it?
It is, but it's so hilarious.
Yeah.
When the cross, the crucifix.
Yeah.
When he shows and he's like just
the actress is great.
Theatrical. It's so theatrical, it becomes hilarious. But yeah. It's really But that's the only part where I laughed, like, oh my god, this is so stupid. But yeah, the rest of it was awesome. Just awesome.
I watch it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah, Sophia, your movie.
My movie is a classic film.
People seldom go to the trouble of scratching the surface of things to find the inward truth.
Really, Mr. Martin, I wouldn't care at all to scratch your surface.
It's The Shop Around the Corner from 1940. And, well, Matt, you're German, so how do you pronounce the director's name? It's Ernst Lubin?
Just a second.
I think that's the first Ernst Lubitsch movie that I've seen.
Oh, I'd say Ernst Lubitsch?
Yeah. Lubitsch?
Okay. Lubitsch.
Lubitsch.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's directed by Lubitsch and so whatever. And it's the first one you see, Nick?
It's my first two of his.
Oh, you have to see the other ones. He's a master of comedy and everything. But he thinks this is his best movie, actually.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I read that, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you had a good start, I think. It's definitely one that derives most from his personal life. You may have read that too, that this is set in a store in Budapest, and he actually knew a store in Budapest like this one, and he drew a lot from his experience in Berlin. So there's definitely a lot of personal things here, at least a closeness to his own life in that way. And this is, like I said, it's set in a store in Budapest, and it's near Christmas time. And just one day, this girl, Clara Novak, she's played by Margaret Sullivan, and she gets into the store looking for a job, and she has an encounter with James Stewart's character, which is the store's leading salesman named Kralik. And they don't hit it off right away. They actually don't get along very well in the beginning, but she ends up getting the job thanks to his boss. And the thing that they don't know is that they're each other's secret admirer. They've been exchanging correspondence for some time now, but they don't know. That may have given you some idea of the parallels that exist between this movie and You've Got Mail?
I haven't seen You've Got Mail.
Yeah.
But you saw Nick?
Yeah, I've seen it. I don't like You've Got Mail, though.
No? Oh, okay. I do like that movie, but the similarities, they exist because they're both based on the same play, actually.
Okay.
So, obviously with something different, like they exchange emails and You've Got Mail instead of letters, because that's just not how we do it anymore. But they actually pay some tribute to to The Shop Around the Corner, because the Meg Ryan's character's shop is actually called The Shop Around the Corner in that film. So there's that parallel.
That's cool.
It's just the Tom Hanks aspect makes everything okay. So they don't know who they are, but they eventually start to, well, I'm not going to say anything because I think it will ruin the movie. But so you have those two realities, and how they treat each other through correspondence. They basically have ideals of each other and how they treat one another in real life, which is they don't like each other. So it's interesting. And I really like this movie. I hope you liked it too.
Yeah. I thought it was very sweet.
Yeah.
It is.
And
I like
and
it too.
Like it's like James Stewart, so I love James Stewart.
It is. I think it's definitely well what the Tom Hanks aspect is, I think the James Stewart aspect is also
true.
Although Stewart. Because you, in the beginning, I think most of Stewart's characters, you begin not liking him or not liking him or fully, you know?
Yeah.
But then in the end, he turns out to be a really good guy and he comes around.
But
you end up loving him.
I was more like, I didn't like Clara all the time.
Yeah.
She tends to be, she tends to be a little that typical screwball.
Maybe because I'm like studying it right now. But didn't you think there was like an aspect of Pride and Prejudice in this?
I thought about it too.
Right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They had their thing that like they wanted to like stay annoyed at each other.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't happening, especially from on her side. She wanted to like send him away.
Yes.
So annoying at points. But then that made him like so much cuter. It was fine.
Yeah.
It did. I think one of the messages of the movie, it's precisely not to be so quick to judge people.
Yeah.
Because she immediately judges him and he immediately judges her and they dismiss each other just like that based on a first impression of a few minutes.
Yeah, and then they build that first impression up by, like, ignoring the what they really see.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And she forgot what I was saying. Say it. I forgot.
I was just gonna say that it's a really good like workplace comedy too,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like an office comedy kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, that I was not expecting. I always thought, like, because of the whole You've Got Mail thing, even though I haven't seen it for so long, that I didn't think, you know, so much about the other people too.
Yeah.
So that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, I loved the errand boy.
Peppy.
Yeah.
It was so cool.
He's great.
He was hilarious.
He had some of the best lines.
Yeah.
But I also loved the boss, Hugo Matuszek.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And the other one, Ferenc, or whatever his name.
You want to keep
Varkish. Varkish.
Yeah.
Varkish, yeah. He was so gay, God. He was really gay.
It's really annoying, too. Yeah, but I mean, it's, and like I said, I think it's incredible that it's set in one place, like, the film was incredibly cheap to make.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so it relies mostly on its script and dialogue and the performances, and I think that's where it really comes through.
Yeah.
True.
It's just one thing that I that made me think is just the fact that it's very clear for Clara that she's going to find a husband and then she's going to stop working.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, it's perfectly normal for the time, but
I just found it
a bit odd. I don't know.
Yeah, I've seen so many classic movies. I just accept that.
Yeah.
But now I don't even notice it. I'm like, yeah, sure, you go be a housewife and be happy forever.
This had like the same problem, which I think is there for me for a lot of like old Hollywood movies. Like the ending, I thought was really quickly, you know, like the way they just fall. I wanted to be more of a build up or like more talking about it. You know, it was just it's you, let's just kiss. You know, that thing, it still like irks me a little bit. It does. It's still, I wish there's like little more like talking there or something there, you know. Because I thought, you know, that like he will actually like go to our house or something, you know, all of that stuff. So that was like the only thing which like that was the only thing.
But I wasn't that annoyed by that because I loved the scene before that.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was so well written and so well paced.
I love the setup.
Yeah.
To the moment she discovers that it's an, I think James Stewart in that scene is just awesome. The way he's acting, he's very. I think for the time he actually managed to be. You know, because they tend to overact.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, a lot.
He was very subtle. Yeah.
He is very subtle. Yeah.
He's very subtle. And you can just see, you know when he knows he's finding it funny or something, you know? Mm-hmm. But he's not like letting it on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's excellent.
And I think even though I was kind of thinking of his blue eyes all the time, because the only other film I've seen of his is Vertigo. But I think he looks better in black and white.
He does. Well, he was older in Vertigo too. So.
Yeah, that might be.
Yeah, I really loved him in Philadelphia Story.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, he's better. And Mrs. Smith goes to Washington because he's in that. He's like a nice guy throughout, and he's like the best guy. He's just like the nicest guy ever.
Yeah.
A little bit annoying, but whatever.
Yeah.
I don't like it when people are like completely good, so.
No, I really like him. And you should see,
I love
this one. You should probably see, if you haven't already, Vivacious Lady, which is Tim and Ginger Rogers.
Ooh.
Yeah, and they're very young. They're both very young. It's so funny and sweet.
I love Ginger Rogers.
Yeah, they make a great pair. They really do. You should watch that one.
Yeah. But yeah, Margaret Sullivan, I think she was fine in the role. But
yeah, she's not.
I'd like to see her in something else, I think, before. Mm-hmm. I mean, she was nominated for an Oscar for something. But I don't know.
It was the character, too.
Yeah.
Because she had all these impossible ideals that no one could ever meet. You know, she talked about that book she had just read.
Yeah.
The character was annoying by itself.
The scene where she confesses to him that she's fancied him all the time, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
First of all, yeah, it's true. It's what you think, too. But,
true.
But I would have liked to maybe have seen some of that because it was a bit sudden.
That's what I mean. Well, you know, the ending was like there was so much that just suddenly happened.
Yeah,
you
know?
Fancied him, but she was following the directions that she read that she should ignore him.
Yeah, but I mean, I would have liked maybe a scene.
That's her way of showing affection.
Yeah,
she was so mean to him, like in every scene though, like before that she was super mean, like
yeah, and he even, wasn't like, that mean.
If there were like, you know, the kind of glances he gave, maybe, you know, that's what Mer is trying to say, like if there was like that one hint there,
yeah, just maybe not a scene with him but just a scene, maybe a close-up of her like watching him or I don't know, something like that.
Something that would hint that
she actually likes him. Because you don't really think that she actually likes him.
No, I never guessed
it. I don't think so. I was kind of shocked when she says that. I was like, what?
Yeah.
Really?
And then I was like, why is she... And I didn't get the point of her like saying it then, you know. It was such an awkward time to say it. It was like, talking about how both of you are getting engaged to other people.
You know? Well, I thought that, maybe James Stewart or someone who looks like him is like, you get confused and you say something that you maybe shouldn't have said.
It's true.
But I don't know.
I love the part when he talks, like he keeps talking about how handsome he is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
gosh. I was actually thinking while watching it, because it's like, I think it's the third time I watched this movie, so I was able to just relax and notice the little details. I was thinking about how tall she must be in real life, because he's pretty tall. Mm-hmm. And she was not that short in comparison.
Yeah.
She must be like,
I'm going to Google his height. Yeah. I'm very obsessed with height because I'm very short. He's 6'3".
I am too. Yeah. Matt isn't.
No, I'm tall. That's it for our main discussion today. Yeah, so we all wanted to plug the 100th episode of our dear friend, who was our first guest, Ryan McNeil from The Matinee, and The Matinee cast. He's been doing his podcast for, I think, 4 years now, and we want to congratulate him on that, and he's a big idol for us, and yeah, just congrats, Ryan, and we love your 100th episode. And everybody should check it out.
Yeah.
So again, I'm Matt, and I blog at Lime Reviews and Strawberry Confessions. And you can find me on Twitter at Matt Kowalski.
I'm Nick, and I blog at beingnormajean.blogspot.com. And you can find me on Twitter at nikhat_z, which is nikhat_z/c.
And I'm Sophia. I blog at filmflare.pt, and you can find me on Twitter under filmflare blog.
You can give us your feedback, which we love to get, on any of these places or on our Facebook page, which is across facebook.com/acrosstheuniversepodcast. Or you can write us an email to acrosstheuniversepodcast@gmail.com. You can find all of our episodes on our Dropbox page, which is on the Facebook page as well, and you can find the most recent ones on iTunes and Podomatic. We're going to take a little break over Christmas, since we think that you'll all be busy by that time, and we're a little bit busy too. And then we're going to return on the 1st of January with a new guest episode, but we're not going to say who it is. And we're going to talk about our favorite movies that we've seen in 2013 that we hadn't seen before. So until then, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Okay, Merry Christmas.
Words are flowing out like endless rain into a paper cup. They slither while they pass, they slip away. Across the universe.